Hey, Casey.
Mike.
How you doing today, man?
I'm all right. A little sore.
A little beat up.
Hey, so am I off your list?
Say that again?
Am I off your list?
No, I was going to tease you a little bit and just say, you know, I'm doing this with Chris from now on, but...
That's a good idea. Chris is funny. He'll get the information out there.
No, I'm just kidding, man. I give you a lot of props. That was a tough crowd.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I kind of do.
I don't know. I thought it was great. I mean, the room was great. The everything looked good, you know, and the crowd was seemed into it. I mean, they were into Juan. Juan killed, and then Tony showed up late. I know, shocking, right? And then he just jumped right in there seamlessly. Everything was cool, and then I went out there and just iced everyone. It was just like, whoa, what happened?
Oh, yeah, but you terrible. Know, I was thinking about it. Those guys have some tools that you don't use that you should figure out how to use. Like Tony has an automatic comeback either way. Like if he tells something, he tells a joke and people laugh, that's cool. He just gets the laugh. But if he tells something and people don't respond right away, he has like a zinger like to throw in right after it, like, you know, like, shut up, man, I'll cut you. Like, it was funny. Like,
I'll cut you?
Yeah, he's like, it was something about using the N-word. Like, you know, he said something like, it's okay to use the N-word, you know, unless you're white, then I'll cut you. Like, if people would have just laughed at the first part of it, it would have just, he probably never would have used the second part.
Oh, I see. So if only I was black. That's good. No, I should try to work on that. And you know, Juan's got a thing going too. I don't know, man. It was new, brand new stuff, and I just lost my mojo, man, my swagger.
Yeah.
I went up there and I said the first thing I said, and it didn't get the laugh I wanted. And the problem with I don't really do jokes, you know what I mean? Like I mean, you saw, I don't know, did you see both of the other sets I did?
On the YouTube, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I saw one of them. Yeah, I saw the one.
Okay, so the other one's kind of, it's different material, but they're like stories, you know what I mean? They're like, and it's like the story goes into another story, and there's jokes in the story, and I think the problem was I had the story, but I had no jokes.
Yeah, I think it kind of slipped away from you when you kind of the momentum got going in the wrong direction. But that's what I'm kind of trying to say about Tony is like he had a stopgap. Like he threw in like okay, if you're not going to laugh at this, I'm going to get you from another direction. Like he didn't just keep plowing ahead.
Yeah, well, he's been doing it for, you know, 30 years or something. So
yeah,
I mean,
but
he's a great guy, and you know what? And he talked to me afterwards at the bar, and was just such a sweet guy, and had like some really good stuff to like really good advice. You know, it was like a little 10-minute comedy clinic, which was awesome. You know, it was because at one point he said something like, "Oh, I don't mean to," you know, and I'm like, "No, man, I will drink up every word that you have to tell me," because that guy, I mean. And he not only that, but he does it all over, you know, like he's a Bay Area guy, really. I mean, he doesn't live up here or anything. He drives all the way up here to do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's committed to it.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you know, I'd like to see him get some TV stuff. I think he's kind of, I know that he was talking about it for a while, but I mean, I think he's going to have a long career doing this stuff.
Yeah, right? Well, he's got an arsenal of stuff built up. This was what, your third time or your fourth time?
That was my fifth time, Mike.
Oh, well, then never mind.
So I'm a veteran, man. I mean, I don't know.
Well, so what? This is what, his 10th year or plus, maybe more?
No, 30. Like 30 years.
Yeah,
literally.
So he's
like,
got a whole quiver of zings that he can use if he gets in any kind of trouble. He would never get stuck, you know. You just got kind of stuck because you don't have that ammunition yet.
So I should just start yelling the N-word. I think that's what I'm getting from this, right? That's your advice? No, Mike doesn't want to touch this one. Hello, is he still there? Getting a little controversial for
you,
buddy?
I'm trying to be friendly to you and not say, yeah, God, that really, that sucked, and, you know. But I think it slipped in the wrong direction, and then it never got stopped from slipping.
I can't remember if it was on this podcast, because I do so many of them, that I was talking about how I needed a bomb, like, one time.
Yeah.
And so there it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Bombed. Now I know what it feels like.
Well, you were in kind of a tough spot, too, because you came right after Juan and Tony when they were, like, they had pretty good nights. And, you know, they're pretty seasoned, so I think they got people revved up.
Well, Tony's usually the host, so, you know, he always sort of leads in to whoever, right? But Juan's like a professional. I mean, he, you know.
Yeah.
He's no joke. So that's probably the last time I'll ever go up after one. I mean, I don't know how the hell that happened. You know what happened was Tony wasn't there and we wanted to start the show on time. And so Juan, we were like, you know, will you host till Tony gets here? And he said, sure. So he got up there and he started doing, you know, sort of like a little three or four. That's usually how it goes. You know, the host does a few minutes and then brings up the first comic. And then he saw Tony. And so then he's like, well, I'm just going to do my set.
Right.
Which is, again, a test to that guy's professionalism, because I don't know if I would have been able to handle that. Like, I would have just – I don't know. Like, he had a really good sort of thing where he kind of stopped and then he said, oh, well, Tony's here. You know, I'm not the real host, you know, and he said that to the crowd. And then he said, Tony's here, so I'm just going to do my, you know, my thing or whatever. And everyone's like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah,
you know?
He improvised pretty well. He just made it funny.
Yeah, it was smooth, man.
That whole thing was smooth. Like, it didn't seem like somebody was late and somebody was stepping in for him. It just seemed like it started. That the night started and Juan was first and then Tony came, you know.
Oh, it was a great night. I mean, it really was, you know, and I'm glad that I was, you know, early so it didn't, like, you know, ruin the momentum of the show or whatever, you know. And I really think that I've been a little cocky to think that I can just, you know, write a new 8 minutes and then go up there and do it and just kill with it every time. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I got lucky the first two times.
Was everything last night all new? Like, you'd never
all brand new. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like, I literally wrote it last week, and that's the other thing, man. I you know, you got to really work your material. You gotta respect it. You know,
right.
Like I was telling you again, can't remember if it was this podcast or one of the several other ones that I do, but I think I was saying something about how, you know, I just go out there and get jokes and or try to get laughs or whatever, which is kind of what I'm doing. But I think I just got a little cocky about my, you know,
can't you use last night for like really good material though for your next 8 minutes?
Yeah, I can write 8 minutes about my shitty 8 minutes that I did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'm kind of being serious.
No, I actually thought about that. You know, I'll probably open with, you know, those of you that were here for the last one, I apologize. And then I'll just start yelling the N-word like you told me to. So that'll be good. It'll work out fine, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Dave, did you catch – you caught his set, right?
Dave, is Dave the guy from Roner Park who's talking about being married 30 years? And
no, that's Brian Thomas. That's Brian Thomas, the Brian Thomas.
Okay, okay.
Brian Thomas of Double Decker Lane's Brian Thomas. I always try to say his name at least 5 times on every podcast. No, Mean Dave was the guy that did the bit about Bat Kid. Did you see that?
You know, I left after Brian.
Oh, well, you left early, man.
Yeah, I was still dog sitting, and I had to get back. And anyway, I had to make an early night of it, so I didn't catch anyone after him.
Well, he does a great joke about Bat Kid, and the line is like, you know, wishing you were, because it was Make a Wish Foundation, you know, wishing you were Batman, isn't that kind of like wishing your parents were dead? And then he did like a whole bit on Bat Kid. It was great, man. The guy's, you know, he's really good. And he's got a really tight set, you know, and he does it a lot. Like, so,
yeah.
But my point was afterwards we were talking and he said something like, yeah, when I said that, I was going to say, yeah, kind of like Casey died up here about 20 minutes ago. And he's like, but I didn't want to be mean, you know. He was really nice, and I was like, no, man, you can, you know, bring it on, man. It's all right.
Yeah. You got to figure you're going to have great nights and off nights, you know, doing anything.
Right.
I wouldn't be too hard on myself. And I got to say, when I was watching you, I was like, really, I really admire, like, how hard that is to do, to stand up in front of people. And, you know, it doesn't go perfectly. You got to kind of keep plugging away and do the rest of the 7 minutes, you know, after the first minute's tough. And so, I don't know. You earned another degree of respect for me after watching.
You know what? I just make it look really hard, Mike.
Well, that's hard to do, too.
Yeah, no, I think, well, by the end of it, I think I got a little better of a groove, you know, and then it seemed like people were sort of connecting more to that stuff about, you know, oh, I was in a gang and all that.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff was funny. You turned a different direction, too, because those first two guys were kind of interacting with the crowd, and the crowd was kind of eating that up, and you didn't do that quite as much, so maybe the crowd up front didn't like that, or I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're right, because as soon as I said, like, you guys probably figured that out when I walked up here, and then I said to that lady, like, I saw you hiding your purse or whatever.
Yeah,
like, it seemed like I got more laughs out of that than, you know.
Yeah, because that whole front table that was in the center that was really noisy, those ladies were, like, total attention hounds. You know, they were talking really loud before the show started, and, you know, they were just eating it up.
Well, there was a couple people. Like, I think the first couple tables on the right were there. They were at some sort of a business conference. So they were at Sally Tomatoes all day, man. They had breakfast, lunch, and dinner there. It was just business, business, business. And then they just, like, hit the bar, and then, boom, comedy, you know. They stuck around. So
yeah, so they were hammered.
Well, I don't know if they were hammered, but they were really ready to blow off some steam, I'm sure, man, after being there all day.
Right.
You know, at some seminar or whatever the heck they were doing. It was like, I'm sure they were, you know, and they were great. I thought they were a great crowd. Really, it was a good crowd, man. I mean, everybody was really into it, you know, and that's why I was so surprised when, like, I got about 2 minutes in, and I realized, like, I haven't gotten one good laugh. Like, what the hell is going on right now? It's just quiet, man. And it's like, that's why I told Dave, you know, bring it on, because there's nothing, like, nothing anybody could have said it would be worse than that feeling of, like, holy shit, like, this is not working at all.
Like, bring on the advice, you mean?
No, I mean, like, if you want to take shots at me about dying on stage or whatever, you know. I got an email today. I was talking about Rotary, and the guy's like, he was talking about these evening meetings we've been doing, and he's like, well, would you say that the evening meetings are going better than your comedy did last night? And he wasn't even there. So it's like, you know, word has gotten around, man.
Well,
but
that's
fine.
Just,
I mean, I'll take it all day.
That's just a funny generic thing to say no matter what.
Right.
He knows or doesn't know.
The good news is, like I said, it's just there's no way it could be worse than hearing the, you know, or just the crickets, you know what I mean? Just the, like, holy shit. You know?
Yeah, just don't be so hard on yourself, though.
No, I know. Brian called me today. He's like, it wasn't as bad as you think it was. He's like, you got some laughs. It just, you didn't have any big, you know, there wasn't any big punches, I think, is what my problem was.
Yeah, it was kind of subtle.
Yeah, everything was like these little subtle sort of in jokes, you know. I mean, that story would be great, like, you know, if we were playing cards. you know what I mean? We're all just sitting around playing cards and drinking, and I'm like, yeah, you know, this piece of shit car, blah blah. I mean, you know what I mean?
I think you need, like, and I'm not a comedian, I'm not a writer, so I don't know.
You're not a comedian? Hold on. Hey,
but you need, like, a flow chart, like, okay, if this works
flow chart.
If this works in direction A with the arrow pointing to laugh, good, then it's successful. But if it leads to, like, silence and crickets, then you need an option, you know, you need an option block, something else to say, like, look, if I'm not funny, X, you know, and then come up with a different angle.
You already told me, shout the N-word, right?
But you can't say that 15 times.
Worked for Michael Richards, man. His career has really taken off since then.
Yeah.
So, okay, so your advice so far... to be black, shout the N-word, and create a flowchart. I think you're onto something, Mike. You could teach a class.
All right, I will.
Oh, sorry, man. I'm having way too much fun on your
Maybe if you
podcast.
weren't so maybe if you weren't so mean, you'd have more laughs. No, actually, maybe you need to be meaner.
No, I think that's probably part of it too, Mike. Because I've been, I got to do this thing at this Rotary meeting, right? And it's like a dinner, and it's all Rotarian, so they're all like humanitarians, and they're a lot of them are really conservative, Not
Yeah.
all of them, but a lot of them are, and it's got to be clean, And I don't like my sense of humor isn't that clean, I mean, it's not vulgar, but it's not, that clean. And so I was kind of specifically writing this stuff with an eye towards, well, I could do this at that event,
Right. Well,
So,
shouting out the N-word will be tough in that crowd, probably.
right. Yeah, exactly. But I think what I talked to Brian this morning, and I was telling him about it, and I'm like, you know what? You should come with me. I said, it's all the way in Ukiah, but the good news is there's no pay. So, it's kind of a win-win. And he actually said he would do it. So Brian Thomas is going to come with me, and that is going to take a ton of pressure off of me because, well, you saw that guy, right? Rona Park, married for 30 years. I mean,
Yeah, he
he's
was.
right in their demo. In fact, he should join my Rotary Club, to be honest. But they'll love him, and so I can come out and just do Rotary jokes, which I could totally do, 5 minutes of that, and I could do a little. I got a couple bits that'll be fine, like the one about my dog or whatever. And then
The boxer.
the boxer. Yeah. And
Well, he told a joke that had kind of a flat punchline too. Where it was just kind of a wah wah wah, like he told a kind of a long
Yeah.
joke, like almost a whole minute setup, and then he did the punchline, and it was like, wah, that's okay, that's not that funny.
Hey, careful, man. He's one of our three listeners.
So I was going to ask you how comfortable are you talking about people you're working with
Oh no, it's
on a
fine.
podcast like this?
No, I had the same conversation with him earlier. So,
Yeah.
in fact, I think he mentioned that his setup was, a little long on something, but it happens, man. I mean, the thing is too is that we had a really, really good lineup. And I was so like humbled just to be on that. Like I didn't put myself on the any of the like stuff on Facebook or anything. In fact, I was gonna start with like I'm the Ann Moore, Like
Yeah.
sorry everybody, but how it had seven like actual comics and then Ann Moore? That's me. I'm the Ann Moore.
Yeah, you're the
But
plus one.
yeah, right, exactly. And that was cool, and it's really like, up your game time. And actually, Brian was telling me this morning that he had some new stuff that he was gonna do, and he just scrapped it and just went to like his standard stuff, which I probably should have done too, honestly. Like, I mean, I like I said, I've got 2 8-minute sets. I've done them each twice. It's like it wouldn't kill me to do one,
Yeah, I
50.
mean, what do professional comedians do those probably 500 times before they wear it out?
Right, and it was a new crowd, and it's like I shouldn't be up there going, oh, Chris has heard this before,
Yeah.
or Gerard has heard this before, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
No,
sorry.
I was just gonna say, don't worry about your friends hearing stuff twice and three times. It's still funny. I mean, that's why people go to see comedians, right? Because they kind of know what, and artists of all kinds, they like their songs or they like their stories, and they like hearing them more than once.
I was just talking about that. Like, there's a difference though, I think, between comedians and musicians, because people will go see a musician play the same song, over and over again. And comedians not so much. There's very few, like, I mean, we're talking Mount Rushmore of comedy. Like, Brian Regan, when he does his set, and then at the end of his set, people just start shouting out like, Little League, and then he'll do the Little League bit or
Yeah, right.
whatever. But that's pretty few and far between. There's not a lot of guys they get to that point in their career where people are shouting out requests, you know, like with musicians. You know,
yeah, but there's also like a brand, like you're going to have a voice, right? A Casey Williams voice, and it's going to be a common thread that runs through all the different things you do, and that's what people are going to like you for. You know, so I don't know. I think professional people have very similar type jokes and even repeating jokes is kind of their brand, and that's how they make a name for themselves. And that's what people grow to love.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, like I said, I was talking about Mean Dave. That guy's a great comic, and he does that set a lot, like that same set, and that's why it's so tight, and that's why it's so good.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I think the funniest stuff, just for my own preference, is like the riffing type stuff. Like Juan was talking about growing up and being a Mexican kid, and you know, not being legal after all these years, and how he got stereos to make a living, and there wasn't really a set of jokes that he told. It was more just a riffing his way through his life, like describing things. I think that's funnier. I like that stuff more than just like a series of, you know, jokes like with a punchline at the end of each sentence.
Yeah, I don't really have like a set up punchline kind of style, really. It's more storytelling, really.
Yeah,
with jokes sort of peppered in. But yeah, like I said, my problem last night was no jokes. You know what I mean? Forgot to write the joke part. Like I had the story down. I mean, the story's great. Just gotta throw a joke in there.
Don't you think you gotta kind of keep the audience on track though a little bit? Like okay, you're not, you know, like you don't say this out loud, but you're not finding this funny. I got to figure out a way to get you back on the track that I want, and kind of prod them back into line.
Prod them, yeah. No, you're right. Chris was telling me that this morning. He's like, you know, I wanted to go up there and tell you, like, just do your, you know, do what you did on New Year's, you know, because that was good, right? Went well, and that crowd probably would have dug it, like even more so I think than the New Year's crowd. But the problem is that with that kind of style that I have, and this again is a skill I need to work on, is there's no way for me to like segue into like I can't just go like all right, well, you know, screw that. So my dad had a birthday recently. You know what I mean? Just like in the middle of the story, just go, you know, screw that. Although I saw a guy do that at the bowling alley and at Double Decker Lanes. And he was in the middle of a delivery, and then he's just like, fuck that joke. And everybody laughed. I mean, it was good, like the way he sort of sold it.
Yeah, you could do that. That's almost like kind of bailing out and going a different direction. I'm thinking of more of like breaking that fourth wall. Like it would be funny if you would have walked off the stage and just sat down in one of the chairs and go, you know, fuck this. I guess if any of you can do it any better, then, you know, there's the stage. And then it would kind of remind people like, oh, yeah, this guy, we're supposed to laugh. You know, we're supposed to be the audience and he's the comedian. We're supposed to laugh, not just wait till the next guy gets up there. You know, you kind of remind them of their role. That's like how advertising works. Advertising directly tells you what you're supposed to do, you know. Don Draper tells people, you know, go out and buy this slide projector or whatever. And I don't know. I think there'd be a funny way. It would be really funny if you could figure that out, like how to get them back in their role, like in a really funny way. Like some comedians do it by tapping on the microphone, like, hey, is this thing even turned on? Like it reminds the crowd, like, I'm telling jokes and you're supposed to laugh at what I say.
Yeah, right. So, the only thing I think I was missing was the jokes. And then if I told any jokes, then I'd be fine. Shit, I don't know, man. I mean, I think you're right. I think it's all like a skill thing. And it's, you know, it's just like working out. I mean, it's like you sort of get better and better. And now that I've sort of done that and I've seen what can happen – I've already thought of like three other ways I could have bailed out of that, or maybe switched gears, or just, you know, just I could have just started going after the audience. You know what I mean? That would have been okay, I think, because they were, like you said, they were sort of seeking to be part of the show. Like the guys on the table, on the left of the stage too. I sort of knew, I knew a couple of the people at that table, and they were like, they were pretty loud. And actually, it wasn't just for me either. It was like for the, this other comic. I don't even think he did his set. He just went up there and like the, this guy started screwing with him, and he just like lit into the dude and ended up doing like 5 minutes about Alabama and just, I don't, it was crazy. I mean, it was like, I don't know. And I couldn't tell if he was pissed because he's sort of like an angry comic anyway. So I couldn't tell if he was pissed off or if he was just like, that was like his thing, you know?
Yeah. And it was funny.
Yeah. No, it was good. I mean, I laughed. I don't know. I don't always, sometimes there's been times at these things because I'll go even if I'm not going up, you know, where I'll be in the back with the other comics and like somebody will tell a joke and like, me and the other comics are like the only ones laughing, you know? Like
The
civilians are kind of like, did that guy just say like, you know, there's a guy doing a bit about Gerber baby insurance and how, you know, what do you do when you, if you get to cash that in when your baby dies, like he was talking about remodeling his kitchen with the $50,000.
Oh and God.
Saying, should you name your kitchen after your dead baby? And like I was standing in the back with a couple of the other guys and we were laughing our asses off, but we were the only ones laughing. Like everyone else was kind of like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they were shocked.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't know. It was funny to me. I thought he did a good job. But,
well,
yeah.
You did a good job too, man. It is hard to get up there and, you know, stand in front of, there must have been 100 people, don't you think? About 50 to 100 people.
Yeah, I think there was 70 actually.
Yeah,
because
so,
we put out 50 chairs and then we ended up bringing about 20 more in. And
yeah, and there were people standing in the back.
Yeah, there was people standing in the back. It was a good room, man. I want to I definitely, you know, I'll definitely go again 2 weeks and I'll do my classics, you know what I mean? My original classic.
The tried and true, yeah. Fall back on your classics.
And I got another thing I'm working on that's, you know, probably not funny either, but it'll be okay.
Perfect.
Did you meet my buddy Brian?
He was kind of the
big guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Tony said I was married to or whatever. I don't know how the hell that happened, man. That was wildly uncomfortable. That whole situation.
Right.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I met that guy out in front before the show started.
He's a great guy, but he was like, he sent me a text this morning, and he's like, dude, there's a tone that you have that I've seen that would have made that material funnier. And he's like, I could tell you were like nervous, you know?
Yeah,
and I think he's right. I sort of like, I don't know, man, swagger gone. You know what it is? No, I don't know what it is actually.
Well, he's right. Like things. just like I was saying, just get angry. Like, you know, you're not laughing and you're supposed to laugh. You're the audience. I'm the comedian. You know, I don't know, something like that.
I have seen comics though try to go after the crowd like that and just completely turn on him too.
Well, and I think you can go after him in a mean way, or go after him kind of in a funny way. Like, okay, I'm struggling. Help me out here. You know.
Yeah, or just, yeah.
Appeal,
you mean like
appeal to them.
Like I've been picking on you for the last 15 minutes, like that kind of stuff?
Yeah, something like
How's
that.
How's that going? Would you have laughed if I'd if I'd done that on stage? Or I could just talk about growing up a poor Mexican child. Like that might have worked.
Hey, you can't always bail out on the race card, man.
Mean Dave said that, he goes, I was surprised that the crowd didn't start screwing with you, like, because he works in like Fremont and Vallejo and like San Francisco and stuff, and down there, man, like there's no way I would have been able to stay on stage that long. I mean, people in Sonoma County are really polite.
Yeah.
because they would have just shouted me off the stage. I mean, I would have been donezo, because it was just like, you know, it would have been like, oh wait, no, my last 3 minutes is really funny, let me just and that's kind of what I started doing too, Mike. I mean, that's what screwed me up, is I realized that all that stuff about my friend's piece of shit car and, you know, my crappy car was kind of like getting like little chuckles, you know,
right?
But not like laughs. And I was like, shit, all right, I gotta hurry up and get to this, you know, this last part.
Because, get to the end of it, yeah.
Yeah, because the I knew the next part was a little more quality, and or I guess I was just like, shit, I hope this works, you know, because the other stuff isn't working. Oh man, that was good. It's good times.
Well,
You know what?
you're a good sport about it, at least.
Oh yeah, shit. What can you do? You can't take yourself too seriously. The good thing, I think what really helped like me get into the groove, because I was really excited. Like, I mean, I was like, man, this material's so good. I feel so dumb saying that. But I was like, man, this is so good, you know? This is gonna be great. And then I saw the room and I'm like, man, the room looks killer, you know? And then what helped me sort of get pumped up for this is like we're putting up the banner, you know, that backdrop thing we had.
Right.
And Gerard just all of a sudden goes, "You know what? You're getting really fat, dude." I'm like, "Awesome. Thanks, pal." You know? And he's like, "No, I'm serious." I'm like, "Yeah, I know. I've been hanging out with you too much." And he's like, "No, dude, like seriously." And I'm like, "Yeah, I know. I need to go into the gym." And then he does I'm like, I need to get back to the gym, you know, because I'm kind of like, I don't know, since I got married or whatever, I was just like, ah, screw it. But I'm like, yeah, I need to get back in the groove, blah blah, you know. And he's like, no, you don't understand. He's like, you know, you probably put on 20 pounds. He's like, you're gonna gain another 20 in your 40s, and then he's like, by the time you're 50, you're gonna look just like me. And then he goes on this whole thing about how I'm gonna have to work out twice as hard to burn the same calories as I used to be able to, and just going on and on about how I'm just fucked. And then the best part was, we're like, you know, half an hour later, we're out in the bar, and we're standing there with Chris, and I don't know if you'd gotten there yet, and Brian, and all of a sudden he just goes, "Isn't Casey getting fat?" I'm like, yeah, I cannot wait to go up on stage.
Nice.
I'm like, maybe I should put a tank top on or something, you know?
Well,
Just like.
one of the funniest times of the whole night was when somebody said, "Thanks for keeping that Three Stooges look alive."
Yeah,
That
it's
was
Gerard.
great.
That was Tony, yeah. Yeah, and he doesn't it's the funny thing is like he's really good at you know, busting my balls, but he's not so good at having his balls busted, especially like publicly like that.
Really?
You know? Yeah, and like when he said that, you know, "Isn't Casey getting fat?" You know, my comeback was, I was like, yeah, it's because I've been hanging out with Gerard. I'm like, you know how a fish will kind of grow into its aquarium, you know? And he just gave me this look like, fuck you, you know? It's like, come on, man. I'm the one that's got to go on stage.
Yeah,
And
I
I'm
mean, if
like,
you dish it out, you got to be ready to hear it back.
now I'm like thinking, do I have a baggy sweater in the truck? You know, all of a sudden I'm like back to being a chubby fifth grader wearing a t-shirt in the pool, you know?
Yeah, you're not fat. I mean, how tall are you?
Like circus tall,
And
Mike.
what do you, how much do you weigh?
I'm really tall. I have no idea. I go to Planet Fitness, which is basically like Curves, and they don't have a scale, so.
For like your pedicures. I mean, what?
Yeah, exactly. I get a cuticle
I
push, and
go to
then
Curves.
yeah, exactly. No, it kind of is. It is like Curves. And you know, I was writing a whole bit about Planet Fitness and how it's like Curves and stuff. And then I saw he was actually on the thing last night. Josh Argyle last week did a whole bit on Planet Fitness, and he said it's Curves for men is what he said. And then he went on this whole thing about how they have pizza on Mondays, which I didn't even think of, but they do have pizza on Mondays. It's like they just don't care. It was really good actually, and I was like, well, I'll throw that away. But
Yeah.
yeah, no, I know, but I haven't been hitting the gym like since, I don't know, probably since the wedding, I think.
Well, my point is you're tall and you're not you don't look fat.
Right.
That's crazy.
Oh, thanks.
You're
You
just
hear me?
you're getting your ego beat up like this last few days, and it's like anything you hear, you're ready to like embrace it, like, oh, another thing I gotta worry about.
Yeah, my ankle clicks when I walk upstairs
Just
now.
forget it all and move on.
I'm just getting old, Mike. I don't know. I don't know how to do it. How do you do it? How do you do it?
How
I
do I
should
get
ask.
old?
Yeah. Yeah. Now you're a stud, dude. You're out there like, I don't know. How old are you? Like 40 something?
54.
Yeah, that's right. You're in your 50s. I
Nice
forgot.
setup there, buddy.
You like that?
How old are
No,
you, like 38, 39? I
yeah,
know
I'm
you're
30.
pushing it.
37,
I
dude.
hate to
30.
even say that you're in the late part of the 30s, but No.
37, man. But thanks.
No, I'm saying you were trying to say that about me.
Oh, yeah. No, I but yeah, but you're, you know, you're like an athlete, man, you know? Slow pitch softball starting pitcher, you know?
Nothing.
You don't even have a bullpen. You just go out there and, you know, you pitch the whole game.
Nothing more athletic than that.
It could be 5 innings, it could be 7 innings. Never know, man.
Could be 3 innings with some of those long innings we have.
There's no help. There's no help coming, and you're just out there. But the other thing is you always, you know, you're always on base, you know, which
the best part of pitching is hearing you after like the first batter say, "Well, there goes the no-hitter." When the first batter gets the first hit of the game.
Yeah, there goes the shutout, Mike. Or I'll be like, "There goes your perfect game, dude."
You know, you actually said that in the playoffs against Dave's team, and the one guy heard it on that team. He's like, "Are you fucking kidding me? Did you hear what he just said?" He's like, you were serious. You know, like, okay, let's have a meeting. We'll have a Druids meeting here. I really want to go after the shutout this game, and you know, like we lost it out in the first batter.
Exactly. Yeah. we're working on your Cy Young Award for slow pitch softball.
I need to keep it under 3.2 to get the ERA award.
We should talk about this. You know, softball, like you tell people you play softball and they think that it's like some sort of, you know, like we're just like floating around, like, you know, drinking beer and I mean, it's really competitive. I mean, you know, these are like, you know, men that want to win. I mean, this is no joke, right?
I would tend to think it's more like we're floating around drinking beer.
Really? You have a completely different perception.
I mean, people show up late. People can't show up at all. You know, I think it's a very much a pastime. It's a friendly game more so than any type of competition.
Well, for some of these guys, it's their whole life, dude. I mean, I know you've picked that up. I mean,
sadly, that's pretty. It's pretty sad. I've actually thought, like, what am I doing here? Like, I played too much softball. I played 1 year like 3 or 4 nights a week, and I'm thinking this is just wasting my time. You know, I'm spending too much time doing this. And some people play 5 nights a week, and then they go on tournaments on the weekend.
That's what I'm talking about. They're lugging around like $1,000 worth of bats, and I mean, these guys are dead serious, and. In softball, if you've ever gotten hit with one, which I know you have, you know what I mean? They're not that soft, man.
No, it's hard it's like a hardball.
But bigger, which is awesome.
But they're not just only dragging around bats. They're dragging around like their kids. Like their kids have to go through that too, you know? Another night of softball, mommy. You know, it's like, come on, spend some family time with your family.
Yeah, exactly. And they're
I don't have a job. I need, you know, I'm on unemployment. I don't have any money. Like, well, don't play softball 4 nights a week. Go out and get a degree or, you know, do something better.
Yeah, go to night school. Yeah, exactly. No, I know what you're saying, man. It's like that's like what they got. And those are the guys that do the thing where they're like, is he serious, you know, or they get all pissed off. I love that, though, when the guys get all mad.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, they're, like, trying to brawl, like, yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna, you know, I'm 37 years old. I'm gonna have a fist fight at the softball field, you know, with my kids here. Like, what are we in high school? Like, what the hell are you talking about, man?
Right.
I gotta go to work tomorrow. You know what I mean? Like, are you kidding me?
Or they get mad at you when you don't get a hit. Like your teammates get mad. You know, like, oh God. No.
Yeah.
Come on, man. It's just for fun. And I'm really competitive. I like to win way more than I like to lose, but you got to put it in perspective of everything else in your life.
Our team's pretty good, though. I mean, we're obviously we're competitive, but we're also like a good group of dudes, you know? And it's like we can hang out, which I like. You know, I've been on really good teams where everybody just scatters after the game and guys don't like each other.
Yeah.
Guys talk shit about each other behind their back.
Yeah.
And do that thing where they're like pissed because somebody didn't get a hit or whatever. And we're totally not like that at all.
Right. Or you got me batting eighth. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Yeah. Nobody gives a shit where they play or where they hit or, you know. I mean, I don't know. I kind of care where I play, I guess. I don't want to play shortstop or anything. But, you know, I mean, for the most part, everybody's just you know, down to, it's like our night out, you know, we get it sort of one night to go out and hang with the fellas and
yeah, it's like a frat. It's like a frat house thing. It's not like a, you know, we got to win the league this year. Or we're going under.
Yeah. Nah, but we're competitive though. I think we're competitive. We definitely want to win. You know, some of the guys get pretty fired up. You know.
Yeah.
I love that we barbecue. You know, after the early games and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if I could do it this year though, man.
How come?
'Cause I'm too fat. now I don't know, man. I'm doing, you know, just my comedy career is really taking off too, so I don't know if I'm gonna have time. No, we are doing well. We're gonna be doing the Friday night thing at Sally Tomatoes, 1100 Valley House Drive, Celebration Destination, and so that's gonna be, you know, I don't think I have to be at every one, but that is gonna take some of my time. I gotta be mindful of my time away from my lovely wife and
sure.
I guess I got a son too or something. He keeps calling me dad anyway.
So your role with Sally Tomatoes, you're just not, it's more than just helping out. You're like there for like some official capacity to book bands and people and stuff.
It's semi-official. I mean, it's really just a spare time thing. It's not like I'm not, you know, punching a clock or anything like that. I mean, you were out there. I've always thought that place is so cool, man. Like the first time I went there, I didn't even know Gerard. And, they were showing Wizard of Oz, right, on this big blow-up screen out back in the – have you seen the courtyard in the back?
No.
It's pretty cool. They got this really cool beer garden back there, and it's – that's what they call it, but it's not – they don't serve beer or anything. But you know, you had popcorn, and it was like, you know, $8, and you got a buffet, and you got, you know, popcorn, and they had the movie. And I went out there with my son. And I was thinking, man, this place is cool, you know? And it's just, it's sort of like out there in the middle of nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
You know? And
that's the only drawback to it is it's so far from everything.
But see, the thing is, it feels far, but it's really not, you know? It's like, it's just because it's not next to anything else.
Well, what's your route? Like, do you go down Petaluma Hill Road or do you go down the highway? How do you get there?
This is going to go big with our Israelite fan. Didn't we get a hit from Israel, right? Am I right about that? We did, right?
Like any of this else is, like who was sitting at what table and
slow pitch softball. That was a good 10 minutes right there. That was solid. But yeah, no, okay. So I from Bennett Valley, where I live, I just go over Bennett Valley Road to Grange, and it takes me literally like 12 or 13 minutes to get there.
Let me think about this. Bennett Hill to Grange.
Yeah, so I live by the golf course, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So Bennett Valley Road, Grange, go over the hill, and then that drops you on Petaluma Hill Road.
Right, right.
You take that to Valley House, and it literally is like 12 or 13 minutes. Like, it would take me longer to get to a bar downtown than it would to get there.
Yeah.
You know? And if people really think about that, like the parking and all that stuff, it's like, it's not that far, you know?
You're there, it's great. It's like a great friendly atmosphere. It's like wide open. Like you can go if you want to just kind of be by yourself. You can find a nice little corner. If you want to go to the bar and socialize, there's a great bar.
Right.
You know, the room for the comedy is really cool. The food's pretty good. You know, it's got a nice little warm fireplace type setting if you want that. So yeah, once you're there, it's great. It's just like driving seems so far. Like when I went home, I went Petaluma Hill Road. And it just and it was like dark, and it just seemed like it took a long time just to even get to Santa Rosa, you know. And I live in Forestville, so then I had another 10 miles after that.
But, so shouldn't you go 116 then?
That's how I came. I wanted to see if it just was any different going home a different way.
And you know, did you take 116 all the way to Petaluma Hill Road, or did you? Because you can turn on Bodway, and that cuts right over to Valley House.
Yeah, I did that. I went through Cotati.
Yeah.
And then over. Yeah.
So, and we're really like right down the road from Sonoma State too, is the other thing.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be good. They have all that new housing going in and that's all cool.
So my thing is like, okay, so we've got this, you know, you have this great space, right? And it is a really cool vibe. And, you know, there should just be more stuff. Like more people should know about it. Like it should just be, you know. And so his band played my wedding And then I bought him that stage, like, as a gift, because they played the he played the wedding and he catered the wedding and he, I mean, he did so much, that guy.
Gerard's band?
Yeah,
Oh,
man.
I didn't know he had a band even.
Oh yeah, he's got a great like sort of blues rock cover band. You know, they're like a party band.
Okay.
They're pretty cool though. They're fun. And so, yeah. So he did all this stuff for me, and so I told Sabrina, I'm like, you know, I want to get him a stage. Like, he should have a stage at Sally Tomatoes. And so we bought him this stage, and then it was really cool because when we sort of did our little, you know, thank you everyone for coming kind of thing, and I was like, oh, I got a confession to make. You know, we didn't rent this stage. You know, we bought this stage. This is the new Sally Tomatoes stage. You know,
Oh,
and
nice.
he was so touched, right? So then he puts it in, and then, you know, and then he got some lights, and then he's like, you know what? I want to do music, and I'm like, I will bring you the bands, man. I'm gonna, you know, and it's fun. It's kind of something I've always wanted to do anyway.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, maybe it's my midlife crisis. I want to be like a concert promoter slash comedian.
Well, it's pretty compatible with being a comedian if you've got like a friend in the nightclub business and you're, helping him out, he's gonna help you out and
Right.
you're
Well,
tapping into the audiences and stuff.
I get stage time anytime I want. Just get to force myself up there. Well, hey, it's my show. I get to play, you know. I get my 8 minutes. Don't run the light at me. Don't flash the light. This is my show.
It's not helping you nearly as much as this podcast, my friend.
Oh, well, this is really gonna, yeah, this is really taking off, you
Don't
know.
know if this one's gonna even make it off the cutting room floor.
Oh, ouch. That's tough.
Well, I mean, here we are talking about you having a rough night on comedy and,
I think it's great, man. I think it's good. I think it's good pod. I think it's good pod, man.
You are right about the Israelite guy. Like, how did that guy ever find us?
I don't know. I think he just has excellent taste in podcasts. Maybe.
Yeah,
I
but how
don't
did he find us? How did he know to even look for us?
know. Well, I mean, maybe he's an expat from Sonoma County. You
Yeah,
know.
maybe he doesn't speak English. That's what I'm thinking.
He could be one of your crazy ex-girlfriends, Mike.
It could be. Our
Yeah.
numbers are growing too. We've had like last month we had like 600. You and I did a podcast on New Year's Eve or the 30th or something. 30th, right?
Yeah.
That was the only podcast I did in December, and there were only like 600 hit 600 people in December, and now it's like 3,000 people. And it's what, almost the two-thirds of the way through January. 3,000 people in January.
Wow, that's
For
awesome.
I've done a couple I've been doing the Louis CK recaps with my friend Michelle,
I saw
and
that. So you're pulling the Louis audience.
I don't know. I mean, it's Louis CK's show is 2010, so who knows who's like dipping back into that. And I'm pulling and dragging Michelle up through this, and she doesn't like talking, graphically about the stuff that Louis like throws out there against the wall in his show, which is like kind of funny, that she doesn't even like saying the words, like the gay guys talking about circle jerks and penis envy and all this stuff, and I don't know, it's funny. But she's a good sport. She's standing up to it.
I gotta listen to that. I haven't seen the show. I mean, I've seen a couple episodes of Louis, and I watched Lucky Louis, but I haven't seen the new one. I think I watched the first two.
Yeah, it's good.
So
They're all on Netflix too. So I think that can keep like if you do a podcast about something that's a little bit older, people just now they just like stream Netflix and get they binge watch stuff really fast and get through seasons really fast.
well, dude, my wife's out of town, so I mean, sounds like a raging bachelor evening. I'll just load up some Louis and listen to your recap.
Hey, there you go. We've only done the first two,
Are
so.
the recaps longer than the show itself? Because the show's only half an hour.
Yeah, they can be. I mean, depending on how long we go. I think we did like 20 minutes on one.
All right. Well, look for that at the coming out of the WCP podcast studios. On the WCP podcast network, right?
That's for sure, man. We can build our audience through other people's success.
You got anything else you want to plug, Mike?
No, that's about it. Thanks, Casey.
All right, well, I think I should go ahead and plug Valentine's Day on February 14th. We have quite the extravaganza planned. at Sally Tomatoes, 1100 Valley House Drive, Celebration Destination. Dude, you got to come to this.
What do you got going?
We got a four-course dinner, right, which is going to be, like, amazing, right? And I would read you the menu, but I can't pronounce half the things on there, so you know it's going to be good. And we've got comedy. I promise not to go on stage and bother everybody. I think we've got Juan Carlos again. Tony Sparks is hosting, and then we got this guy Casey Shandara, who's awesome. And this will be probably while you're winding down with your fresh raspberry chocolate mousse cup with dark chocolate dipped strawberries. And then afterwards, we have Miss Kitty and the Big Dogs, which is a great band. I don't know if you've seen them, but
I haven't. But it sounds fun.
It's like a sort of a swing kind of band. But they put on a great show, and I mean, for $95 per couple,
it's nice. Like,
you're not going to do better on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, and place really does everything you need. It's got, if you want to just go off and have food in a quiet corner, you can do that, or you can jump right in the middle of all the action and have a drink or go to the comedy. Probably have music too.
Yeah, well, we're gonna have live music every Friday. After this is like our big kickoff for that, right, on Valentine's Day. And then every Friday after that, we've got a band booked all the way almost through April. So it's going to be good. And the dinner's going to be in the Plaza Room where the comedy was, but it'll be wide open. And I mean, we're talking, you know, pancetta wrapped prawns and like endives and, you know, baked goat cheese salad. And I mean, it's really going to be some high end stuff. And you should go, Mike.
Sweet. Well, put me down.
Call one of those crazy ex-girlfriends of yours.
You got a number, a phone number, or a website or something people can look at?
Well, yeah, of course. You can go to sallytomatoes.com, or and you can actually buy tickets if you click on the events link, or you can call us at 665-9472. And then also, February 4th, another comedy night. See if I can pull one off. We have some real comics, too, just in case.
You're going to give it another shot. You're going to get right back on the pony.
Yeah. Hell yeah. I think I might go hit a mic tonight, man. What are you talking about?
All right.
Same material. I got, now that I've got my tips from you, you know what I mean? I'll work out my flow chart, practice my end bombs, and be ready to roll.
All right, man. I'll put all those numbers in the show notes so people can just, you don't have to remember it by listening if you're driving or something. Just get it on the show notes.
We should say, too, that you should subscribe to us on iTunes and leave us comments and feedback. Rate us.
We have a thing on iTunes?
Yeah. There's a little thing. You can rate us. You can leave comments. And we're on Stitcher now, too.
Stitcher. We were on Facebook with all the stuff, too, so you can find us a lot of different ways.
Oh, that's right. You got a Facebook page now, too. Look at you. You're really going somewhere with this thing. How many likes do we have on Facebook now? Or you, I should say. I like how I just decided it's me now.
Well, I thought you meant me. Like, how many likes besides you liking it do we have?
Let's see how we're doing. We are, I don't know. Can't find it. I guess it's not on there anymore.
Can't find it. Perfect.